You're listening to the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast on August 25th, 2016. My guest today is the founder of Zoob and many other startups, as well as the creator of the 180 Websites in 180 Days project. Jen DeWalt, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about Zoob, the startup that you're the founder of. And what is it, and what problem are you trying to solve?
So Zoob is a project management platform for software teams. Now, as companies kind of move further into the 21st century, the software team is becoming a more critical part of the business model for companies and increasingly becoming the product, the creators of the product for companies. So what we're working on is developing a communication hub for the software team and all of the other parties around that. Communication is super important across any corporate structure. And for software teams, the products that are available for project management to organize themselves aren't necessarily geared to account for this larger scope of the key players involved in product development, software development. So you have everything from your customers and customer support, your marketing team, project managers, executive stakeholders, all these people who have their hands in on product development and are not necessarily well connected. So we are building the communication pipeline basically for the entire product lifecycle.
That sounds pretty cool. I'm definitely interested in looking more into that, but what I want to talk about today is that you're using Backbone framework as part of Zoob. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And what does Backbone do?
So Backbone is a lightweight JavaScript library. It provides an event-driven MVC architecture system. And so it's for building out your front end. And on Zoob, we have a Node API backend, so that's JavaScript on the backend, and a single page client with Backbone on the front end. So our Backbone client structure talks to our API structure on the backend. And so we're JavaScript front to back. And Backbone, kind of the key components are that it abstracts your data into models and it abstracts your DOM elements into views. And those are bound via events through the Backbone event bus. And so the global thing that makes Backbone interesting is, unlike other frameworks, which are a bit more opinionated and have a lot more structure to them, Backbone is very lightweight. It just basically provides tools to abstract out some of the more mundane parts of web development and gives you the freedom to design the full experience of your web app. So it's very flexible, allows you to have a lot of power over what you're building on the front end.
If you had to pick one thing about Backbone that most appeals to you, could you name that one thing, or is that asking too narrow of a question?
I'm a big fan of Backbone, so it's very hard to pick out some of the, like, I love all of it. But the key things that I like about Backbone are, one, it allows you to stay very close to JavaScript. You're in JavaScript. It only provides some lightweight structure for you. And that gives you a lot of power when you want to create things that are custom for your app, which happens when, you know, you're building something very complex or a web app as opposed to like a web page. And then the other thing that I really love about Backbone is its event-driven nature, which makes, when you're doing, for instance, on Zoob, we have a lot of interactions happening. We have lots of things that are interacting when things are, cards are getting updated, new events are coming in from our different API integrations. We are integrated with GitHub, so things are coming in from GitHub and need to be communicated across a large team. Lots of things are happening, and those are all events. And because of Backbone's event nature, it lends itself very easily to updating and manipulating your models and your DOM based on these events. So it makes it very, at least in my opinion, very easy to create a fast and powerful web app that's highly specialized for what it is that your web app does.
Now, you just said you're a huge fan of Backbone, so this might be a tough question for you to answer, but if you had to pick one thing about Backbone that you don't like, maybe its weakness, what would that be?
Yeah, I mean, Backbone does have a lot of, it's not for everybody, I guess. A lot of people are turned off by it because with all that great power that you get from Backbone, there comes a lot of responsibility, right? because it's so flexible, it's very easy for you to get kind of sloppy. You know, you're under time pressure and you're like, I just need to like get it to do this one thing. So I'm just going to hack this in over here. And if you're not careful, your code base can blow up into a whole bunch of spaghetti mess. So it's very important to set up structures for your development team and patterns that help mitigate those tendencies. Because, and particularly if you're working on a small team and everybody's pretty autonomous, you're going to have those moments where, oh, I'm just going to put a little thing over here. I'm just going to put a little thing over there. You come back 3-6 months later, you go, well, I have no idea what I was doing here. Why does it look like this? So that's very important. And that is one of the struggles that many teams have with Backbone. We've also at Zoob put in a lot of those structures in place that are kind of custom for our development workflow. And the other issue, which is related to that, is that people find off-putting and is always a challenge, is memory management. That Backbone, because it's so lightweight, it does put a lot of the onus on you as a developer to manage your memory. And it's very easy to create memory leaks if you're not careful. So again, creating patterns and, you know, supporting code to help mitigate those memory leaks and being very aware that those things can happen, that memory leaks can happen. You can create globals that don't get cleaned up very easily, that you continue to be diligent about, does my code run efficiently? Is the memory getting cleaned up well? Am I leaving a whole bunch of garbage around that isn't getting collected?
So I'm going to ask you another really broad question that might not be a fair question to answer in a short podcast, but can you maybe just talk a little bit about why you chose Backbone instead of one of the other 10,000 JavaScript frameworks like Angular, React, Knockout, Ember, etc.?
Totally. Well, as I mentioned, I'm a big fan of Backbone. It's been what I've been working with for a long time. My co-founder is also a Backbone developer. And I mentioned that Backbone stays close to the JavaScript. And as a JavaScript front-to-back company, being very present with JavaScript is important to us. I mean, we feel that it's important to continue to stay present with the fundamental JavaScript language. And some of the other frameworks, it abstracts a lot of that out. You know, Angular is a good example where you do a lot of your work in the DOM itself, and which is kind of like absolutely antithetical to Backbone, which is get everything out of the DOM. Like, don't attach your stuff to the DOM. Backbone is very much, you know, use your models and views and keep your DOM very clean. So we were very excited about that. I mean, we feel passionately about that. We love JavaScript. I know not everybody does, but we do. And despite all its flaws, but more importantly, we knew that we needed something that was going to be very flexible for us. With the type of product that Zoob is, it's very event-driven. We have many concerns that other apps might not have because we have large amounts of data that we need to show on the screen, large amounts of data that need to be moved around and manipulated very quickly. And so we knew that Backbone was provided that kind of flexibility that we could create our own custom code that would be super fast and super powerful for our particular use case. And again, back to the events, Zoob is a hugely event-driven app. Everything happens in real time on Zoob. So having an event-driven, asynchronous library structure was going to be really important for us. And we knew Backbone's Event Bus is just fantastic for this.
You mentioned that your backend is running on Node. Mm-hmm. Does Node actually render some of the HTML, or is it just like REST endpoints and you have client templates that are being used with Backbone? Is that how you got it set up?
Yep, everything is rendered through Backbone. Okay. Node runs, we have no templates out of Node. I don't think we have a single template running out of Node right now. So we have some static stuff for, you know, peripheral things, but all of the core app is run client-side, talking to our RESTful Node API endpoint.
Does Backbone come with a templating engine, or do you have to plug in one of your own?
It does come with a templating engine, yeah, which is powerful. But you can plug in anything you want. In fact, you can skip out on templating engines and just throw in jQuery if you wanted to as well. Very flexible.
You mentioned that sometimes memory management can be an issue. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tools or techniques you recommend to get a handle on that in Backbone?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, understanding how the Chrome Inspector works and gives you plenty of tools for monitoring your memory management. My co-founder has actually written an excellent blog post. It's called How to Structure and Render Views in Backbone. And it's an excellent getting started guide if you're just looking to get your feet wet with Backbone. But it also goes through a really good explainer of how to monitor and check your memory using the Chrome Inspector timelines and other tools. So I highly recommend that if you're interested. It's going to do a much better job than I can do in a quick voice podcast of explaining how to do memory management monitoring. But I would definitely recommend checking that out. It's a great primer on sane and structured view rendering in Backbone.
Great. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And on the same subject, can you recommend any of the resources for someone who wants to start learning Backbone, like myself, perhaps, who has no experience with it?
Yeah. So that's obviously a great place to start. One of the awesomest things about Backbone, that one of my favorite parts of it, is its source code is incredibly easy to read. They have an amazingly well-documented source code base. And so you can go onto their website, you can open up the source code. It's documented and annotated, and I highly recommend just read through all of the source code. It won't take you that long. It's a small, relatively small code base, and it gives you a great insight into how it is the primer of how to use Backbone in a way, because it really does explain exactly what everything does and how it works. And like I said, it's very easy to read. So I definitely recommend reading the Backbone source code, and then. Okay. Start to build some things. There's tons of tutorials out there of how to get started with Backbone. I think the canonical one is like a library app where you have some books and you render them on the screen. I think the best way is to start just trying to build something. Since it's very lightweight, it's kind of multi-pronged in that it's a high learning curve to get started, a lot of people find, but once you get started, that learning curve goes way down, as opposed to some other frameworks, which tend to have a very quick start, and once you start doing something more complicated, it gets harder and harder to dig into. I think Backbone's the opposite, where it's high at first and then quickly drops off. And then another recommendation that I've come across as being helpful is to build something small with jQuery, if you're familiar with jQuery and sure. JavaScript. And then convert it to Backbone. And you'll kind of see, by doing that, you'll kind of see what Backbone is abstracting away for you and what it's leaving for you to manage yourself. And I think that's very helpful if you're coming from some JavaScript knowledge, some JavaScript background, but unsure of what to do with Backbone exactly.
Maybe I'll build 180 Backbone websites.
That sounds good. I built two during my project. I had no idea what I was doing. I was in that steep starting learning curve. I built two during that project. And I was like, I have no idea what's going on. But shortly thereafter, I was able to wrap my head around it. And then it became like, it was like a window opening up of like, oh, this all makes sense now.
All right. Before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to promote?
I mentioned my co-founder's blog post, so you can find him at 204nocontent.me, and the 180 websites project you can find at jenniferdewalt.com, and I'm on Twitter at jenniferdewalt, and you can contact me anytime there. I'm happy to answer any questions or just talk web dev.
My guest today has been Jen DeWalt. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been great.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2016. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. The hosting for this podcast is made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Skype and Audacity. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy their music on Amazon or iTunes.